say, bless your word as it never returns void. In Christ's name, amen. Acts chapter 10 is where we're going to go today. And I just want to give you a quick summary of what's been happening up to Acts chapter 10. It began when Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. So he gave a little puzzle piece here that he was going to build a church. The book of Acts is the beginning of the church. It's the beginning and the birth of the body of Christ, where at one time God was only for the Jew, and you had to become a Jewish person, circumcised and follow the dietary laws and what have you, in order to be able to communicate with God through sacrifices and offerings. But in the book of Acts began a new dispensation, a new area of called grace, when God opened up this door through the apostles to bring the gospel to all people, all types. You didn't have to become a Jew in order to know the Lord. So he said in Luke 24, after the death and resurrection of Christ, Jesus said this. He opened up their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead, and on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem, and you are witnesses. So the key is, the message is repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And sometimes we could lose that emphasis and just, Jesus loves you, and he does. But what is he loving you from? He's loving you from sin. He's loving you to repent of sin, because that's the whole message of the gospel. So now we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the remotest parts of the earth. So we're going to see the progression here, where the gospel is no longer just for the Jew, but it's to the Samaritans in Samaria, and it's to the uttermost parts of the world. So we see now in chapter 2, that the Holy Spirit was poured out in verses 16 through 18. What was the Spirit poured out for? So that the message would be preached that Jesus said, repentance from sin and to receive his gift. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel, verse 17, and it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind. And on your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. So what was happening was, they were waiting in the upper room. Jesus said, wait until the power of God comes upon you. They waited 10 days in the upper room, and then the flames of fire came, and the great wind, and it landed, and it came upon them, rested upon them. And they left that upper room, and they started praising God and speaking in another language, tongues. Some say it was an angelic language. Others say it was a language that the men and women can hear. Well, I believe that was the real language, because it says, how do we hear them speaking in our own language? So they were praising God and thanking God and prophesying of the greatness of God. So upon that, Peter gives them the interpretation of, why is this happening? We've never seen something like that. And he said it's from the book of Joel, that Joel said that he was going to one day in the last days pour out his Spirit on all mankind, not just the Jewish nations, such as, you know, David. The Spirit came upon David, and even King Saul, when he was called to be a king, it says the Spirit came upon him and he prophesied. So here we see that God is starting a new work here. It's to bring the gospel of truth to all nations. And so what was, after that, what was the message when they seen all of this happening? Well, again, in chapter 2, verse 38, and Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can't preach the gospel without repentance from sin. Can I get an amen? He can't come to Christ and say, well, he's going to give me a good life. He's going to bless me. He's going to give me abundant life. And not understand that it means you repent of your sin. You say, God, I need forgiveness because that's why you died on the cross. So that's always the message of the gospel. And it's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that prepares the hearts to receive that word. So we see that the gospel went to Jerusalem and Judea. And then in chapter 8, we see that the good news of God's word went to the Samaritans in chapter 8. Philip brought the word there. And now, the third stage of the Holy Spirit that's going to be poured out on all flesh was going to go to the Gentiles. A Gentile is everyone who's not a Jew. That means every type of person who's not a Jew is called a Gentile. And that's okay. It doesn't make a difference. But now the gospel is going to go to all of the Gentiles, all of the world. And it began with this centurion named Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman soldier who was in charge of 100. He was a centurion. And an angel spoke to him and gave him instructions to go to find this man called Peter, who he never knew. So in Acts chapter 10, verse 1 through 4, it says, now there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort or squad, a devout, pious man, and one who feared God with all his household and gave many alms, gave money to the Jewish people, and prayed to God continuously. And about the ninth hour, somewhere around 3 p.m., of that day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius, and fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. So this man Cornelius wasn't a Jew. He wasn't involved in the sacrifices, but yet he understood that the Jewish God was the real God. And so he would pray in his own way to the Lord. He was a devout man. He was pious. And he also feared God. And upon that environment, an angel came to him and said, Cornelius, your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial to God. Your prayer is so, so, so important. Prayer and incense go together. David said in Psalm 141, may my prayer be counted as incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. In the book of Revelation, prayer of the saints was mingled with the incense of the Lord in the golden altar, and it was cast down. So in other words, God hears prayer. He's blessed by it. It's a sweet-smelling aroma to him. And so the angel said, your prayers and your giving has ascended as a memorial before the Lord. So now we see the angel giving directions to Cornelius. He says, now dispatch some men, verses 5 to 8, dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying with a tanner named Simon, who's in the house by the sea. And when the angel who was speaking to him had left, he, meaning Cornelius, summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were his personal attendants. And after he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. So the angel said, go to Joppa, look for this man named Simon, who's also called Peter. Spirit spoke to him through an angel. So now what does he do? Well, he picks some of his servants and a devout soldier. I really like that word there. It wasn't someone who was just, someone who was just in his presence, but it was someone who was devoted as a soldier unto him. Timothy says the same thing. In 2 Timothy 2:2, he says, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men, devout men, men and women who are going to be leaders in the church, you just don't say, okay, here's your responsibility, go and do it, because you don't know how it's going to turn out. But when you see the fruit of someone's life and you see the consistency of their life, you know they're devoted. You know they're devout people. Those are faithful men or women, if you put them in ministry, who you want to entrust to with the things of God. You know, Paul said, don't lay hands on no man suddenly, lest you also partake of their sin. So you have to look at character. Character is always very important when you're entrusting someone with the powerful, beautiful, sacred scriptures. So he sends these people out to go to Joppa to meet Peter. And we see now how God is preparing Peter to meet the servants that Cornelius sends in verses 9 through 16. So on the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up to the household about the sixth hour, 12 o'clock, to pray. Again, pray. But he became hungry, and he was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance, and he saw the sky open up and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by the four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. And a voice came to him saying, get up, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean. And again a voice came to him a second time and said, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. So, you see, in the dietary laws of Leviticus 11, you couldn't eat certain animals. For instance, pork. You couldn't eat swine. You couldn't eat lobster because it's a scavenger of the ground. You couldn't eat camels, but who wants to eat a camel anyway, right? So, but there were certain foods that God said was clean and unclean because he was preserving a people, a nation, separating them from all of the people. But that time is past now. And God is saying, no, that dispensation is finished. The dietary laws are finished. The old sacrifices are finished. Right now we're in a new dispensation of grace. And what I say is clean is clean. Not your old way of thinking, what is unholy, that's gone. I think sometimes for us, even, you know, we come from a mindset of different ways of following God. And then God gives you a revelation. No, that's the old way. You don't have to light candles anymore. You don't have to pray to saints anymore. That's the old way that you learned about God. He said, but now I'm giving you a new way. Now you go right to Christ. Now he is the new dispensation. He is the new high priest. You don't need to go to a formal priest in Catholicism or wherever you have. So he was reluctant to do that, as we all are. Some of us were brought up Catholic, as am myself. And this is not a rift against Catholicism. It's a rift against the organization of it, not the people of it. Because there are many people who are very sincere, and they love God according to the knowledge, but they're in fear of leaving and follow the Bible, which is the truth. And unless a person starts going to the Bible, they're going to follow tradition out of fear. But there comes a time when your way of thinking is going to clash with what the Word of God says, God's Word of what's right and what's wrong. And like Peter, we might say, no way, Lord, that ain't God. When I first started going to a church that was preaching the gospel, it was a pastor, and I'm used to having the white collar, and here was this man who had a suit on and a tie, and in my thought, I'd say, man, that's the devil. He doesn't have the white collar on. Don't you be believing this man. But I had to change my thinking because God has said that it's not what you wear that makes you a follower of me. It's the word of God that you follow that makes you a follower of me. So eventually I let go of that type of thinking, thank God, and I went to the word, and the word set me free to what truth was. But concerning things that are eaten, there was this young lady one time many, many years ago who was so afraid to eat pork. It's against God's law. Or any of the unclean animals that Leviticus 11 would say. And I pointed her to a scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 4. And here's what Paul said. He said, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified or made clean by means of the word of God and prayer. And that set her free, because she was following the law of the Leviticus law of chapter 11, and she was in bondage. And when she said, wow, that is so right on. That is so liberating, because now she knows that it's sanctified. Nothing is unclean, the Lord is saying through Peter to Timothy. If it's received with gratitude and you ask God to bless it, it's good to go. So the other thought that I had is, what God has cleansed, let no man consider as unholy. In John 3:13-10, Jesus said, when he was trying to wash the disciples' feet, and Peter said, no way, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And then Jesus says, if I can't wash your feet, you have no part with me. You don't belong to me. And so Peter said, hey, not only my feet, Lord, but wash my whole body. Wash everything. And Jesus said to him, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you, meaning Judas. So the point is, if God says you're saved, if God says you're clean, then you're clean. You may have to wash your feet of sin and ask for forgiveness during the day or during the week, whatever it is. But if you belong to the Lord and he said you are now holy, you belong to me, well, that settles it. I don't have to fear it. I don't have to worry about losing my salvation. I don't have to worry about it. Can you lose your salvation? Or whatever the theological questions are. But if you believe in Jesus Christ, you got to also understand that you need washing of your feet at times. Because there are those, well, hey, I'm saved, I'm washed in the blood, I don't need to confess any sins. Well, what about this? What about that? What about this? Well, that's okay, I'm saved. No. Can I get an amen? God always wants us to be holy and sanctified, not positionally only, because he says you're holy, that's your position, but the practical progression of becoming more like him. Be ye holy, for I am holy in all of your behavior. So there is a standard. So when God said to Peter, what I call clean, don't you call unclean anymore. I want you to take that for yourself. If you believe that you are a child of God, don't doubt it. If you believe that you accepted Christ by faith and that's a gift of God, don't doubt it. Hold on to it and say, no, Lord, you said I'm cleansed. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to hold on to that. He tells me in John 1:12, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Even to those who believe in his name. If you believe in Jesus Christ, then you become a child of God. Now, what amazes me is when a child is born, the child cannot be unborn. When you're born again and you truly belong to the Lord, you can't be unborn. You're his child now. You may be a prodigal. You may have some issues, you may be grown, but you got to stand on the promise of God that, hey, I belong to Jesus Christ because of his gift. Now, Romans 8:14 says the same thing, and then we'll move on. Romans 8:14 says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Are you being led by the Spirit of God? That's an indication. You're not following your flesh. You're not following the dictates of your flesh, but you're following the Word of God and the Spirit of God. They are the children of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, which we cry out, Abba, Father. So when you're having that fear and it's just coming upon you, not because you're out there as a prodigal sinning and what have you, but just the fear, you're sincere, your faith is weak, you're a newborn, you say, oh, I don't know if this is the real deal anymore. God's not giving you that spirit of fear. You have to say, Lord, I believe. And I'm going to rebuke that spirit of fear. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So he said, you receive the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Here it is. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit should testify with your spirit. Sometimes it's not always easy. You're not going to hear a voice, yes, you belong to me. But I do believe if you're hungry enough to know if you're doubting your salvation, God will show you. Can I get an amen? So if you doubt your salvation, you're not sure if you're saved, talk to the Lord and let the Spirit of God speak to you and confirm in your heart and testify, yes, you belong to me. You're not perfect, John, I see that, but you believe in my son Jesus, you belong to me. But we also need to understand that following Christ comes with suffering too. He goes on to say that if we are children, we're heirs, also heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. So there's no Christian cakewalk. If you're following the Lord, you're going to get persecuted. If you're following the law, your flesh is going to fight against the spirit. If you're following the Lord, there's going to be doubts that come in. But understand this, if you belong to God and you're a child of God, he's going to speak to you. He's going to enable you. He's going to empower you. So now we see here that the Lord is speaking to Peter and telling him, what I call clean, don't you call unclean. He's setting Peter up to receive these three men. And we'll see here how this vision came to him three times. So the Lord is kind of like putting a picture in his mind that what I call clean three times, don't you call unclean. So now God is sending these three people from Cornelius, who are Gentiles, who he always saw as unclean because they weren't Jewish. He's going to now connect the dots and say, oh, I get it now. God is speaking to me here not to call these Gentiles unclean anymore. So it reads in verses 21 through 23. So Peter went down to the men and said, I'm sorry, I skipped. Verse 16. Then it happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Now while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate. And calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was also called Peter, was staying there. Now, while Peter was reflecting on the vision, he's thinking, Lord, what are you saying to me? The Spirit spoke to him, said, behold, three men are looking for you. But get up, go downstairs, and accompany them without any misgivings or opposition or discriminating or to be withdrawn from them. Go down and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself. So we see here how God was giving him a vision, not only about the physical foods, but also about people who the Jewish nation considered unclean. Go with these Gentiles. And later on we'll see what Peter says about doing that. So now in verse 21, Peter went down with the men and said, behold, I am the one who you're looking for. Now, what is the reason for which you have come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you. He didn't know what the message was, but he saying, send him to me so that we could hear what he has to say. So he invited them in and he gave them lodging. And on the next day, he got up and went away with them. And some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him also. So there were some Jewish believers who also came with Peter. And they went with these three men to Cornelius's house. So now we see here how that opens up. On the following day, he entered Caesarea, that is Peter. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and he had called together his relatives and close friends. And when Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter raised him up, saying, stand up, I too am just a man. You know, that's a good illustration of following men who are bringing the word of God and you hold up on a pedestal. You can do that with worship teams too, you know that, right? You can do that with music that you hear and you become a groupie. Come on, do we follow as groupies or do we worship the Lord? I want to hear what the music is speaking about, not just see what the person are performing about. Can I get an amen? So he's saying here, hey, don't you worship me. I'm just a man. And that's important for people not to take the worship too. You know, hey, here's my autograph, here's my name. Please, I don't want your autograph, I want Jesus. Amen? So it tells us here that Revelation, an angel who was going to be worshipped by John on the island of Patmos, said the same thing. It tells me in verse 8 of chapter 22 of Revelation, I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. But he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book, worship God. He said, I'm just a servant. And you know, the Bible tells us that the angels are servants for the people of God. It tells us you entertain angels without even being aware of it. We don't always know what is an angel and what isn't at times. But the Bible clearly tells us that that's their job. Their job is not just to stay in heaven. Their job, we've heard you got a guardian angel and stuff like that. That's truth to that. There are angels who are protecting you and I. And they're servants. Hebrews 1:14, speaking of angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? That's you. That's me. They're ministering angels. They're protecting. I don't know how many times an angel must have saved my life or your life, but when you get to heaven, you'll probably see, whoa, I see now why. You know, just the other day, as we're on the boardwalk and John was doing his sketchboard of the gospel and people handing out tracts, a couple of drunken people walked by. They walked by like mocking or whatever it may be that we were doing there, John was doing there. And then a little later on, not too much later, they came by and one of them vomited right in front of the sketchboard. Now, if that isn't out an unclean spirit, I don't know what is. If that's not the enemy trying to send a message, I don't know what is. But God protects. But that does not mean that there's always going to be pieces of cake wherever you go. There are demons who are out to destroy and stop the word of God from penetrating to hearts of men. But do we have angels? They are ministering in service. I'm not to be worshipped, he said. I'm just a servant. And I think we all need to remember that. We're just servants. We're nobody special. We're not people who have their names and lights, we're just servants. In fact, in Luke chapter 17, turn with me there, verses 7 through 10, when the apostles were asking for more faith, here's what Jesus said. He said, which of you, having a slave or a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come immediately, sit down to eat? But will he not say to him, prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourself and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink? He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all things which are commanded, you say this, we are unworthy slaves, we have done only that which we have ought to have done. How do you see yourself? Well, I'm not getting the recognition. I'm not getting the pats on the back. I'm not getting this from the church. Well, maybe you're not a slave. Maybe you don't understand that you belong to Jesus Christ in a good way. And we'll talk about being a slave is not a prison. You are free as a son of God. You are free to serve others. But we have to realize too, hey, what am I? I'm just doing what the Lord tells me to do. I live for you, God. I worship you. I'm not looking to do things to earn points. I'm doing this from my heart because I love you. Paul, Epaphroditus, Timothy, many others always called themselves bond servants. In Romans 1:1, Paul said, hey, Paul, a bond servant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel. It wasn't his calling that he put up in lights and put first. He said, hey, I'm just a bondservant, but here's my calling when I'm a bondservant. Now, what is a bondservant? Well, in Exodus chapter 21, verse 5 and 6, here is the explanation of a bondservant. But if the slave who's been set free now. He done his time, whatever it may be, or he bought it out. It says, but if the slave plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out as a free man. Now, what happens is if a man, let's just say he's a slave and he can buy his freedom, but before he buys his freedom, the slave master gives him a woman, a wife. Well, he cannot take her with him when he's free, nor the children of that woman. She has to stay behind. So he was saying here, I love my master and my wife and my children, and I will not go out as a free man. Then his master shall bring him to God. Then he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him permanently. So you see, a bondservant is a slave that's been set free but chooses to serve his master. If you're a bondservant, you have a choice. You don't have to serve God in a way that cost you something. Here it's costing him something. He said, listen, I love my master too much, and I love my children and my wife. And I like to say that to the church. You're free to go anywhere you want at any time. I don't own you. God owns you. But I like what he says right here. He said, I love God, but I love my wife and my children as relationships. Do you love your church? Do you love your family? You love God, and you're free. But some people don't take that as a responsibility and say, no, no, I'm not going to serve in church. I love God, and I'll move on. But that's not what a bondservant is. Paul served as an apostle. But he was a bondservant. He loved God, and he loved the word, and he loved people. You've been called for freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. I'm a servant. Can you receive being a servant? Can you receive not getting pats on the back? Could you receive cleaning bathrooms? Can you receive being a servant, picking up dirt outside the church because you want to keep it clean? Can you receive going to somebody and saying, hey, you need a ride home and take you out of your comfort zone? I'm a servant of the Lord, and I'm in love with God. I'm in love with God's people. The greatest servant of all is found in Matthew 20, verse 26. They were arguing amongst themselves of who's the greatest. And Jesus said this, it is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you, he shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So there it is. He washed feet. He quickly told him, listen, you don't argue like, hey, I want to be recognized. I want to be first. He says, if you really want to be first, you become last. You take the last seat. And you're doing it as unto me. And Jesus said, I came not to be served, though I'm the Son of God, but to serve others. What an example. Can I get an amen? So I'm challenged. You're challenged always. Lord, are we truly servants? Or are we just free in Christ and we don't want to be real servants? For time's sake, we're going to stop there. And I just want you to see what is the Lord saying. The Holy Spirit speaks to us always. But are we listening? Are we listening to see what he says? Do we really want to follow him in the depth where we lose our life and we lose our conveniences? Do you see yourself as an unworthy slave? Do you see yourself as, God, I'm just going to do what's the right thing to do? And then afterwards, when I get to heaven or even on earth, God will reward me. And he does. It is more blessed than to receive. Paul, a bondservant. Cornelius, a man who exemplified the fear of God, prayer, and giving. And in that state of mind of prayer and having a heart to want to know more of God, God spoke to him. Because you got to think for a moment. When the angel said, God has heard your prayers and your alms and giving as a memorial, what was his prayers? God has heard. So now God is going to send you to pick up Peter so Peter can give you a deeper message so that you could be more free in me and know more of me. He was probably praying, Lord, I need more of you. I want more. I'm hungry. Please, God, fill me. And God said, Cornelius, the Lord has heard your prayers. Now, this is what you got to do. I'm going to teach you about God. I'm going to teach you about grace. I'm going to teach you that God has accepted you and what he has called clean. Let no man call unclean. Let's bow our hearts in prayer as the worship team comes up. Lord, we see very clearly here that your word of grace, your word of being cleansed is for all people, all sizes, all colors. There's no distinctions. You don't care if you're rich, poor, black, white, yellow, green. That does not impress you. You're not a God of partiality. You just have a message, and the message is repent and receive the gift of God for the forgiveness of sins. That's the Lord's message. In addition to that, if you're serving the Lord, and, you know, there are men in here who really love God and women as well, and they could always use some help. But we just don't want to get people involved in ministry who aren't faithful. People who maybe feel guilty and I better do something. But we want people who do it as unto the Lord, who are faithful as saying, I'm an unworthy servant. I want to be used of you, Lord. And that's a faithful soldier. To be cleansed, if you're a child of God, if you accepted Jesus Christ, let no man say you're unholy and you're unclean. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you ask him for forgiveness, you've been born again. Yes. You are now a child of God, and you're led by the Holy Spirit, not by your flesh. And if you have doubts, ask God, and the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you belong to him. But fear is not from him. Connect the dots. God had a divine appointment for Peter. And God made it clear that it was me that's speaking to you. He didn't understand it at first, but he said this three times, and then there's going to be three men. Finally, Peter connected the dots and said, okay, I'm going to go with them because the Holy Spirit told me not to hold anything against the unclean Gentiles. But when God is sending someone to you, or God is sending someone or sending you to somebody, he's got divine appointments. You don't know if he's been preparing them or not. You just say, Lord, I need to speak to this person about Christ. And when you do that, you'll see and you'll hear from the Lord, and that's where the joy comes in. So Heavenly Father, with every head bowed, if there is anyone here, Lord, you've called them by name. You've called them not coincidentally. You've called them and they're connecting the dots. It's you, Jesus, that's calling them to yourself, to receive forgiveness of sin and to be born again. And if there's anyone here that knows, hey, you're speaking to me, just raise your hand and say, that's me. Just raise it up and say, I believe in Jesus Christ who died on the cross for my sins. Anyone at all. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that you always give us to glorify you and the work that you have done. And now for all of us here, God, may we too just remember who we really are. Servants of God, not to be worshipped, not to put man up in lights, not for us to hear a pat on the back. Though you do give that, we live for you, Jesus, and only you. Now give us grace to continue to bring your word of salvation to all people. In Christ's name we say, amen. Amen.